We are looking at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to begin with, I want us to look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. If you look with me at 2 Peter chapter number 2, it's not in your notes, but you'll find it in your Bible. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. God gives us a prophecy for today, and the prophecy has been proven to be true. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now, though the resurrection is fact, biblical fact, historical fact, one of the reasons why there is so much criticism, doubt, and rejection of the resurrection is because of what God has just told us about here in His Word. There are false teachers, even that claim to be Christians, but deny the bodily, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have brought in heresies into the world over the past generations. And so many people have heard these things and picked up a lie or more, read some ridiculous books, and so when you meet them at the door or you witness to them, they might even just blurt out, "Look, I don't even believe that Jesus Christ existed." And we covered that issue already. "I don't believe that He rose again from the dead. Look, I believe, look, the disciples stole His body." So that's where we're going to pick up tonight in the second part, in fact, the third part, about the Lord Jesus Christ, questions people ask, and the second part about His resurrection. What about this idea that His body was stolen? Now, I haven't given you any blanks tonight, made it easy for you. So no blanks to fill in. So you might just like to listen in. Everything is there in your notes. But when you think about this idea of stealing the body, this was the first lie that was invented about the Lord's resurrection. Remember, the Jewish leaders invented this lie to cover up the resurrections, the resurrection. We know that to be true. And this is probably the most common lie that people believe today, that His body was stolen. The disciples stole the body, and so therefore they can run around claiming that He rose again from the dead. So how can we answer that question? Well, a liar digs their own ditch. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27, Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. You see, lies that are told about the resurrection will ultimately come undone when lined up with the facts. Now, first, here's a good answer to someone's statement that the body was stolen. First of all, and they will say, "Well, the guards were asleep. The guards were asleep, and they stole the body." If the guards were asleep, or should I say even drunk, some might even think that they were drunk, how did they know that the disciples stole the body? How did they know? What proof? If they were sleeping, how could they know who stole the body? The Jewish religious leaders say, "Well, it was the disciples, but if the Roman soldiers were sleeping, then obviously they didn't see them. If they would have saw them, they would have killed them, and the disciples would have been no match. How could they have known?" Secondly, we know that a Roman guard sleeping on duty would have been crucified themselves as a punishment. There's a little quote in your notes. You might like to read it later. "But the Roman guard, if he was found asleep on his post, would have been executed." But you know what happened? The guards that were at the tomb were not executed. They weren't even punished at all. Why? Because they were not responsible. They were doing their duty, and the reality is they too saw, amen, what happened. And they were so frightened that they would get in trouble, they were convinced by the Jewish leaders to believe a lie. They would never have left their post. Never, ever would they have left their post for their own life's sake. You see, Judea was a place where Romans didn't want to be. They wanted to be back in Rome. Many of them were just fulfilling their duty and looking forward to going home, being reunited with their families. They didn't want to lose their lives. They were happy to do their duty so they could one day go home and enjoy the good life in Rome, back in the city of plenty, in the country of plenty. Judea was a place that they hated to be because it was barren. It was full of religion and opposition. And these guards would have done their duty. Some say, well, they weren't Roman guards. They were actually Jewish guards. They were guards of the high priest, if you will. They weren't Roman guards, so they would have fallen asleep because there was no penalty for them falling asleep. There's another one. Okay? But the Bible tells us that Pilate approved of the Jews, the Jewish rabbis, the Pharisees' request, and he gave them a watch. What is a watch? A watch is a sentry of guards watching the tomb. That's what it means. And Matthew 28, verse 12, calls those guards soldiers. They were not Jewish guards. They were soldiers. They were Roman soldiers. And the words a watch, custodia, custody, is the word for a Roman sentry. That's a good truth as well. Word for a Roman sentry. So, it's ridiculous to say that they were asleep. Ridiculous to say that the Roman guards would have done that. Now, thirdly, the Jewish leaders didn't even believe their own lie. How do we know that? Because they didn't hunt down the disciples to question them. That didn't take place either. It doesn't matter what movie you watch. The Bible tells us that they weren't hunted down. They didn't see Peter in the square and drag him off and beat him and force a confession out of him. Where is this risen Christ? Where have you hidden the body? Now, that's not what happened at all. They told him, stop preaching the gospel. But even they didn't believe their own lie. They didn't believe it. They didn't make any attempt to find the body. So who could have stolen Christ's body if his body was stolen? Well, the Jews would never have stolen his body. Would you agree? Because they didn't want Christ. They wanted to see him in the grave and stay there. Now, the Roman government would have not stolen his body, and they sealed the tomb. They had no reason to steal it, and they did not want him to be risen. Now, Joseph of Arimathea did not steal the body. Why? Because he had no reason to. There was no reason for him to steal the body, and he could not have done it alone. You might say, well, he would have stolen the body. He could have done that. He could have done that to prove that he rose again from the dead. Well, he wouldn't never have been able to do it alone. And you know, when two people are accomplices, ultimately one of them slips up because their testimonies don't match. One of them will slip up in their testimony and will lie and they'll get found out. And so sooner or later, one of them would have reported the deed and they could never have moved the stone. Course. We've covered that already in previous lessons. And the disciples certainly didn't steal the body because, first of all, where were they during Christ's burial? They were hiding. That's right. They were hiding for fear of their lives. For fear of their lives. They weren't a mobilized army of fishermen with spears and nets charging the tomb. No, they were in fear of their lives. Now, Peter, their so-called leader, was worst of all. Remember, he denied the Lord three times. He was the most backslidden of the whole group. And he went back fishing until the Lord rebuked him. And he came back to the Lord in his heart. You know, he said, yes, Lord, I'll serve you. But until then, he was hiding. He was in fear. He didn't rally the troops, if you will. They were in no way able to do that. Now, fourthly, the disciples would have been fools to have suffered and die for a lie. And we'll look at that in a moment. But fifthly, it would have been impossible for such a large number of people to have kept the secret hidden. Sooner or later, someone who knew the facts would have been unable to keep them. That's what happens with a lie. Sooner or later it comes out. God says that himself. Behold, your sin shall find you out. You know, you just dig your own pit, you know. We've lied before and we've been caught. Why? God is true. Amen. A lie is always found out. Now, we know that. But if a large group of disciples knew that, one of them sooner or later will have slipped up, maybe being convinced to be paid some money to tell the truth. And then when we think about the Bible, when we think about the New Testament, when we think about the moral standards of the New Testament, be ye holy, for I am holy. And all these books of the Bible with many verses against lying and lifting up holiness and the fear of God, with such a great moral religion like Christianity, which exalts truth, could never have been founded upon a lie. Never. If it was founded upon a lie, then you would open your Bible and you find lots of corruption, lots of twisted tales. You see, it would never have matched up. And for someone to say that his body was stolen is ignorance. Is ignorance. When we think about the suffering of Christians, let me read you out a quote that I didn't put in your notes about the suffering of Christians. You know, we need to not underestimate the suffering of Christians over the years. They suffered for what they believed. They suffered excruciatingly. And you know, it's one thing to come up with a religion that gives you power, or a cult that gives you power and authority over others and influence and money and wealth. But it's another thing to invent a religion that will cause you to lose your life, to cause you to suffer. Now, how does that make sense? Unless he really rose from the dead. Now, there's some big words, some old English words here. And let me read out this testimony. Their master, Jesus Christ, had recently perished as a malefactor by the sentence of a public tribunal. His religion sought to overthrow the religions of the whole world. The laws of every country were against the teachings of his disciples. The interests and passions of all the rulers and great men in the world were against them. The fashion of the world was against them. Propagating this new faith, even in the most inoffensive and peaceful manner, they could expect nothing but contempt, opposition, revilings, bitter persecution, stripes, imprisonments, torments, and cruel deaths. Yet, this faith they zealously did propagate. And all these miseries they endured, undismayed, nay, rejoicing, as one after another was put to a miserable death, the survivors only promoted their work with increased vigor and resolution. The annals of military warfare afford scarcely an example of the like heroic constancy, patience, and unblenching courage of these. They had every possible motive to review carefully the grounds of their faith and the evidences of the great facts and truths which they asserted. And these motives were pressed upon their attention with the most melancholy and terrific frequency. It was therefore impossible that they could have persisted in affirming the truths they have narrated had not Jesus actually risen from the dead, and had they not known this fact as they knew any other fact. Not only did the disciples suffer horrifically, but Bible-believing Christians down through the ages suffered tremendously. Why? It was not for their wealth. Now remember, you need to define the difference between Christianity and the Catholic Church, because they're not Christians. So when the Catholic Church persecuted Bible-believing Christians who would not be sprinkled, but said that baptism by immersion was biblical, and they put them to death in the millions as they suffered for their faith, there was nothing in that faith for them to profit of, except if they believed in a risen Christ and they knew Christ personally as Saviour, and they had experienced his forgiveness of sins and knew where they were going when they died. The history of Christianity proves the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for someone to say, well, his body was stolen, it's just ignorance. It's plain ignorance. All you need to look at is the books of history. It means they would have all suffered and died on the basis of a lie, which makes no sense. Christians are dying today for their testimony of Christ. Now, lastly, there in your notes, some say Jesus rose spiritually, but not bodily. So he rose spiritually but not bodily. Well, what did the Lord do when he met his disciples in the upper room? He let Thomas touch his body, and he ate with them, and he drank with them. So some religious cults believe, well, look, he rose spiritually, but not in body. We'll just take them to the scriptures and show them in Luke 24, there in your notes, 37 to 43, point G, that the Lord ate with his disciples. He met with them. He had a resurrection body, but it was a body. He was risen from the dead. Amen. And in conclusion, and you can read on, that it's much easier to believe in Christ's resurrection than to believe the lies that try to decredit it. There's no way. There's no way his body was stolen. But that's a convenient excuse for those who reject the gospel and don't want to submit to God. And that's why many have doubts. But some have just picked up on those and will ask a question or give a criticism. You know, his body was stolen. And the proof of the empty tomb shows us, well, his body was not stolen at all. So there are some thoughts for you to store away and to hold on to as a reference. Let me encourage you to clip them into your folders. Continue building up this library of answers and to help us to stay fresh. Amen.